Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas. Cities across Ukraine have been hit by Russian missile attacks in recent days, knocking out power and water. But the retaken city of Kherson in the south has been taking particularly heavy punishment. Karen Shamas has the story.
The sound of shelling thunders across the Kherson skyline. Ukrainian troops on the front line launch reconnaissance drones to determine the enemy's positions before firing. Kurt, a commander for a military unit, told the AP that Russian soldiers had taken up positions on the left bank of the Dnipro River. While the goal for Ukraine is to push the Russians further back, crossing the Dnipro River has become tricky as both sides have destroyed surrounding bridges. A day earlier, at least five people died in the city from Russian shelling. Nevertheless, the mood in Kherson remains defiant and resolute, as Kherson resident Valentina Pedina tells the AP. Putin wanted to take Kherson. Never. We will die here, but we will not give it to him. I'm Karen Chamas.
Investigators say the gunman who killed six people at a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia Tuesday night bought the gun just hours before opening fire on co-workers. He also left a note listing grievances. Meanwhile, the mass shooting at a popular gay club last weekend has Colorado Springs looking inward.
I think a lot of people, including myself, might have ascribed to the notion that we were going to age out of hate.
State Representative Leslie Herod is the first openly LGBTQ and black person elected to Colorado's General Assembly.
It's not going to just go away. In fact, it's being bred in our communities, and it's been lifted up. So we have to actively change that.
European Union data shows Twitter took longer to review hateful content and removed less of it in 2022 than last year. Meantime, Elon Musk says Twitter will try to relaunch its premium service next week. The last attempt was flooded with imposter accounts. This is AP News.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Did you hear about the vampire that was found? Headline is, skeleton of female, quote, vampire, unearthed at cemetery in Poland.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
A sharp sickle was placed across her neck, and a padlock was put around her big toe. Her burial reveals fear around vampires.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Some prominent Wisconsin Republicans expressing skepticism about former President Trump's plan to run for president again in 2024. Former Speaker of the House Paul Ryan told ABC News, quote, "I want to win and we lose with Trump. It was really clear to us in 18, in 20, and now in 2022, unquote. Ryan, who criticized Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election and calls himself a never again Trumper, said those elections underscored declining support for conservatives in Wisconsin suburbs. WISC News reporting that Trump's lead decreased by nearly 7 percentage points in Ozaukee County. In 2016, Trump won Wisconsin by 27,000 votes. In 2020, he lost by about 21,000. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Haifman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Haifman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Hi, welcome in, everybody, to another edition of Packer Outright Opinions with the Haifman Brothers. Or is it the Haifman Brothers tonight? It's not, but we have a guest. We have a guest host, Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show. And actually, more importantly, of the Green Bay Packer fan tree as he grew up. Look at him. He's got a helmet in the background. He's got the shirt on. He's wearing the G. He's probably got a tattoo somewhere.
Nowhere, perhaps.
But it is Todd. Fill it in, co-hosting tonight. With me on the show to talk about the Packers the day after Thanksgiving. And it's fun. And Evan's here too. Evan, how are you doing, man?
So well. Such a thankful giving this week.
It is. It's, you know, it really was. Yeah. I mean, it is good stuff. It's a nice break, right, in the middle of kind of all this to get a chance to spend time with family.
Too much of a break for me.
Too much.
I mean, I'm. Look at that. You know, here I am.
Man.
It's Friday. I'm here.
You're back.
I'm back.
You're working hard, trying to do the right thing. That's what Evan always does. Hey, and Todd's with us tonight. So, again, welcome into the Packer Outright Opinion Show. We are going to expose Todd to some things he probably has not had exposure to on the radio before.
I'm just honored to be here. I'm like an honorary Haifman bro for the night. You know?
Wow. Wow. Well, that's, I mean that's better than
all Jason and Todd all day on, you know, Civic Media, because you were on my program, our pre-recorded, like, you know, buy a local program this morning. And here we are tonight. So between you, me, and Evan, I mean, we are the glue that's keeping Civic Media together on a buy local Friday.
You got to have glue people. You got to have the glue guys, right? Or the glue people here in the organization. And, you know, I would consider us more even like the anchors. I mean, we weigh Civic Media down.
You and Evan, perhaps.
Wait, was that wrong? I was going to say, we hold down the fort, but then I actually said we weigh Civic Media down. So maybe we are more like anchors than we are.
No, we hold them down.
Oh, we hold them down. Yes, okay. Yes. There you go. That's more appropriate, more accurate. Okay, well, let's talk about Packers here tonight. We welcome Todd into the show. It was Thanksgiving. Welcome you all. Hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving yesterday if you partake in that. If you don't, that's cool too. It was a day to maybe get a little break from things. Today was a busy day, a Friday, Black Friday. Everybody loves that. Not everybody, not me, but some people like it. Other people get out there and do a bunch of shopping and enjoy that sort of stuff. Hopefully if you did shop, you shop local and you listen to the Todd Alba Show and you did that today. Another thing that happens this time of year quite often is sickness. We got sickness going around, and so did the Green Bay Packers, Todd. Now look at all this stuff. They're trying to lock it down. They're trying to prevent guys from, you know, all getting this sickness that's going around the team. So it's been kind of a weird week for them as well. And look, these are the things that can come into play where all of a sudden it's not an injury situation, but you get all this illness going through your club and you're in this close proximity all the time, and all of a sudden you're missing a bunch of key guys at key spots, and it could happen this Sunday unless they get control of this thing.
It's everywhere. I mean, I'm here in the RC, a home of WRC. PPE on the Civic Media Network, and I'm here at Mom's house, and that's why it looks so festive already. And we, my nieces, they came back, came down from Eau Claire. They've got the group. We were all in masks and sitting separately, like we were back in COVID times. And so, I mean, it's thankfully I'm so far so good. But yeah, it's everywhere, and I think you're absolutely right. It's one of those things this time of year. Teams dealt with this during COVID-19. Now it's this kind of weird respiratory stuff. Trainers and medical people, they have this big job just to keep the teams healthy. And this can really affect play, and it can come on like that. So, I mean, these coordinators from the head coach on down, you've got to know who you're going to plug in there, because on game day or game night at any given time, you may have to go to your second or third string guy.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur talked about it this week, about how this was reminiscent of what happened to them in the playoffs in 2019, where they had this rash of flu go through the team and had a bunch of guys, you know, during the week, questionable, didn't know if they'd be available. Some of them were, some of them weren't by the time they played the game. Some of them that were available probably still affected by that and affected their play. So, I mean, I don't know. This is just as bad and probably worse than any sort of injury situation, because even though it's more short-term generally when you have a sickness or an illness going through, even though oftentimes the team is not all clustered together, you have these position groups that are in close proximity, and all of a sudden, if you have a rash of it go through like your offensive line, your receiver room, whatever, I mean, what do you do at that point? It's really difficult to try to figure it out and get guys out there on the field.
I mean, there were guys, who was it a couple of years ago, but there was a player that basically had a we'll keep it as clean as we can, but a bowel situation where he had to like run into the bathroom and just couldn't control himself. I mean, it's slightly funny, right? Because, I mean, we've all been there. We've gotten these really bad illnesses, and then you go try to run and then get sat on or try to tackle another guy. I mean, it can just get real nasty real fast. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, but yet it's not, to your point. Also, just the pure energy and strength of a player, right? So, I mean, if you're just getting over this stuff, you don't have the energy to run as hard, to tackle as hard, maybe to grip the ball as hard. So these are the little things as you're watching, as a casual fan. I'm not a professional fan like you, but as a casual fan, you think, what the heck is going on with some of these guys? And they could be going through some of this stuff. I mean, I watched the Dallas game yesterday, and I mean, my gosh, I mean, the Cowboys are just running over people. I mean, did they suddenly see the light after visiting Lambeau, or are these other teams just ill? I don't know. I mean, they look like they could win a Super Bowl any minute.
I'm still not sold on that. The Cowboys still find their way into or out of success, I think.
But did you watch the game?
Yeah.
I mean, they looked fantastic.
They did. But
they crushed the Vikings.
Week to week, it goes like that, right? And that's how it's really strange in the NFL. And that's why you can't. You're only as good as your last game. And they say that all the time, and it's really true, because it changes all the time. There's so many variables, but the sickness and the illness is definitely one that is a variable that can be tricky to deal with. Todd, I have no idea. Let me just clarify and define what you just said there. You said a professional fan. Does that? I think the definition
think
of that
are.
Is that you put more of your time and energy into it than you probably should. I think that's what you're.
But you're getting paid for it, though, as well. I mean, you're hosting a professional program, and one of the things I love about this show is you and your brother. I mean, you're a broadcasting professional. Your brother doesn't do this full time, but I mean, you guys put the time into this to know what the heck you're talking about. But yet you also bring the passion to it, and I think that's what makes this program unique and great.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, we like to have fun, but we also, I mean, we've been fans our whole lives pretty much, and then we always have plenty to say, and we like to look at football a little more closely and a little more analytically than your average fan. Let's just say that. Okay, you know, because there's a lot.
I told Jason this week, for those who are listening or watching, I said back in my broadcasting days at UW Platteville, my broadcasting partner Kevin O'Connor was a great broadcaster, knew everything, and we had a promo of he and I, and it said, one of these guys knows sports like the back of his hand, we just hope the other guy can find the stadium. So, you know, I was here for the comic relief.
Fair enough. All right, well, let's turn our attention back to the Packers. So the sickness and the illness is real. It's a real thing that's happening right now. People got to deal with that. The coaches are trying to figure it out. But like you alluded to, I think COVID and protocols and different things like that probably helped them out in this situation to keep, you know, detect early and also have a plan in place that would keep players separate so it wouldn't be spreading around. And they basically said, like, hey, if you got these symptoms, don't come to work. Hopefully more and more that's kind of the situation across the board for many of us. And the Packers are no exception to that. Hopefully that doesn't impact the game. Now, it's basically, Todd, at this point, and I know people, we had big hopes and we thought they were going to win the last game. And if they did, the season looked so much better. And after losing to the Titans, everybody, so many people are like, oh, the season's dead. The season's over. And we'll finish up the last segment talking about a little of those ideas and whether that's true or not. But this is it. It is playoff time for the Green Bay Packers starting this week. Every week is pretty much a must win. Now, they might be able to lose one more game in the last six and still get in as a seven seed, but it is do or die. And the biggest thing for me is I want to see these guys play with effort, the effort like their backs are actually against the wall, and it's do or die. Because I haven't seen that from everybody, and I certainly didn't see it last week against the Titans.
That's the thing, isn't it? I mean, it's the streakiness of this team. And I think, you know, I'm not inside Aaron Rodgers' head, thank God. But I think that's one of the things that probably, you know, as I've watched him over the years and as a casual and sometimes, you know, getting paid to watch the sport, I really think that's one of the things that drives Aaron Rodgers crazy is because he is, whatever your other feelings are about him, he is a consummate professional, right? He watches the tape. He knows things inside and out. And I think that he does not suffer fools gladly. And so he tries to bring the top game. And then when other guys aren't doing that, I think he's just kind of like, what the heck? You know, and I think that frustrates him and brings his game down. I'm not here to make a bunch of excuses for Rodgers. He hasn't played great either. But to your point, they have to show some consistency. And I think if I'm the coaching staff, the management staff, that's what's concerning me. It is the lack of consistency and just doing your job. If you're going to get beat by the other team, that's one thing. But if you're not bringing that professional consistency, that's what will just drive coaches and other people crazy.
Yeah, 100%. This team has been incredibly inconsistent, hasn't picked each other up. A big part of that is leadership. And that's one where Ben and I talked about this before the season, early on in the season. All of that was, where is the leadership going to come from this team? Because Aaron Rodgers has never been a strong leader, but he's paid and in the, like he should be one, and he's in the position to possibly be the strongest leader on this team, but that's not his personality. And then you put that together with end of his career and the way he's stepped back from football and not there for all the activities and engaged like he had been earlier in his career. And where was that leadership going to come from? I mean, it's easy when things are going well, but when you get down and things are going rough, somebody's got to pull everybody together. Somebody has to kind of settle the ship and also give guys a kick when they need it. And we haven't seen it. And that's been, I probably think, the biggest issue for this team is a lack of leadership. They do not have a take charge head coach that's going to whip everybody into shape. And they don't have players on this team that are going to be assertive enough and really basically call guys out in a way that's needed. I mean, Aaron Rodgers do it publicly when he doesn't have to look you in the eyes, but you need somebody who's going to like kick you in the butt and say, guys, look, it's do or die time. And it is. And if we don't see the urgency this week, you can point right to leadership. And that's probably the biggest problem with this team overall. So we got a break coming up, Evan's telling us. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a recent article. We're going to talk about the broken thumb, ow, digits that hurt, and some other things on the other side of the break.
Sell the... Since Best Farm to Table Pizza is hiring. We are seeking line cooks, prep cooks, dishwashers, pizza makers, bartenders, servers, delivery drivers, and hosts. Sal's offers great pay, free shift meals, paid time off, and health insurance available for those working 30 hours a week. Students are welcome too. Positions available at all locations, Madison, Monona, and Sun Prairie. Stop into any location for an immediate interview or apply online at SalvatoresTomatoPies.com.
10 years ago, we opened with a single location. We had one glass blower, that's me, and a full display of artistically created glass pipes and products. Today, you've helped us grow to 3 successful locations. Ignite Glass and Gifts thanks you for your continued support. We'll be here as long as you need us. Madison's favorite for glass gifts and bait. Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. One solid decade. Man, does that feel good.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your Devil Radio forecast. Clear skies tonight with lows around 33. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Highs level off around 55. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night. Lows level off around 36. Overcast. High of 40 Sunday with a chance for scattered rain showers. 40 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Here's how you get them. If they bring a beer, you bring an old-fashioned. If they bring cheese curds, you bring a casserole. That's how you make friends. That's the Wisconsin way. That's Devil Radio.
You're going to hear quite a bit from the late, great Chris Cornell tonight on tonight's show. Talking about the Green Bay Packers, it's welcome back to Hafen Bros Packer Outright Opinions. Special guest Todd Alba with us tonight. Co-host Todd Alba wearing his green and gold. Todd, when the Packers don't play on Thanksgiving, how do you experience that? Is it easier for you? Is it more fun, more relaxed? Like, what do you do when it's a Thanksgiving with a Packer game or a not a Packer game?
Traditionally, when I don't have a Packer game on, like this year, I curl up in the corner in the fetal position with a cheap bottle of Cabernet and suck my thumb. So no, I'm just kidding. It feels weird, right? I mean, it's like, so I'll admit it because, so I'm 53, a little older than you, and I remember the Packers were terrible, right? I mean, just terrible, like in late 70s, you know, early 80s. So I was kind of a closeted Cowboy fan because they won and they were cool. And so I kind of, you know, I don't mind watching the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, but when the Packers don't play it, just everything feels weird. The turkey doesn't taste as good.
Fair enough. I forgive you for liking the Cowboys ever. And secondly, look, it's...
It was an experimental time in my life. I tried the Cowboys. It wasn't for me.
Oh, man. I mean, look, there's a lot of history there. I just have like some cousins that are big Cowboys fans. And they always end up getting heartbroken, too. But so do we as Packers fans. So I guess we're all kind of the same. We've all had Mike McCarthy as our coach. Hey, Lee gives us a good one. He says 12 has been consistent all year, consistently bad, and that's pretty much true. Look, Todd, I mean, you mentioned it before, and maybe, you know, you're kind of being nice here to Aaron Rodgers. He's currently 27th in QBR rating here and only averaging 231 yards per game. So it's been a rough... I mean, there's 26 guys ahead of him on this list when you look at a guarded measure for quarterback play.
But nobody ahead of him when it comes to tops in ayahuasca ceremonies.
Yes, and also...
So he's got that going for him.
He also drives a big bus and throws plenty of people out in front of it, so that's he's number one at that, too. Let's see. Here's an interesting article. Aaron Rodgers, the big news. We got to talk about Rodgers through this segment. Then I promise, after this segment, no more Aaron Rodgers talk. I promise. Okay. All right, Aaron Rodgers. Broken thumb, right? Reveals it after finally having more terrible games and another terrible game where he missed throws. Then it's leaked out. Was it leaked out by a child? Is that really how it happened? Like,
that's what you told me.
Oh my goodness. I mean, he'll use anybody, right?
This.
I mean, this is Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't care who you are. He'll use anyone to get his messaging out. So it covered, you know, he carries a big shield. It's a great shield. I was up again. So anyway, the perplexing part of all this, says he has a broken thumb in his right hand. Matt LaFleur and the coaching staff never considered sitting him down with that broken thumb. Todd, history is repeating itself. Is it really repeating itself? Don't we remember when Brett Favre had a broken thumb in his right hand and played terrible and the team won 4 games? Don't you remember that season?
But he kept playing. The 16-year streak was still alive. He was the Cal Ripken of the NFL. I mean, it's all about masculinity. How much pain can you take and keep going?
But if you play like trash, we don't really want you out there. Can we get somebody else in there? Like, come on.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, does that come down to Rodgers just saying, no, I refuse to sit. You're going to have to bench me and then creating a whole thing? Or, I mean, I don't know. Or do they really feel that 12 still, even hurt with a broken thumb, that 12 gives them the best chance for success over Jordan Love? And I think that's the bigger question, right? Because if that's the case, you know, a 12 with a broken thumb versus a healthy Jordan Love, I don't know. I mean, that probably says more about Jordan Love and the Packers organization than it does about Aaron Rodgers.
That is the part that is always a big question mark that we can never know, because we're never inside those meeting rooms. We're never inside the heads of Matt LaFleur. And I've told Ben this many times. I'd love to take Matt LaFleur out for some beers, get him a little tipsy, and get the real scoop on some of this stuff. But we're not there yet. You know, we haven't even met. So we got to meet, and then we're best friends. And then we can take that opportunity.
Just think, once Civic Media has the news station up in Green Bay,
yeah,
you will have a beehive to launch off with. I mean, you can invite LaFleur over after the game to the studio, sit there and have drinks.
Direct access, yes, inside 1265. That's where we'll be. I mean, so anyway, you're listening to us tonight on Devil Radio, 1580 AM, as well as 92.7 FM out of Madison in South Central Wisconsin, and then up in Amory, Lake Eyre, 1260 AM. And you might even be hearing us over in the Twin Cities area, because sometimes that signal gets over there too. So we're glad to have you along for Packer Outright Opinions. Todd Albaugh joining me tonight. Todd, it's just this whole article I'm looking at, and I just can't believe it. It leads, Ben and I have been talking about this for a while, that look, Matt LaFleur is the one with the job on the line, right? His job, he's going to be the first one to be ousted if this goes totally sideways and if there's a short leash, right? They're not going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to can other players. They're not going to get rid of the GM even before they would get rid of him. So we have been calling for Matt LaFleur to take control of this team, and it just seems like either he refuses to, or it's not a good match for his personality, which means he probably should have just stayed as an offensive coordinator and not a head coach, because I don't know if he has what's required to grab a hold of this team.
But see, I don't know. I mean, to your point, is LaFleur the one that's really on the line here? I have to wonder that, because you and I talked about that this week a little bit, about that Sports Illustrated article that came out when he was first hired. And Mark Murphy called up Rodgers reportedly and said, "What was the line? Don't be the problem."
Yep.
And so that started, in my opinion, a lot of this bad blood, right? That basically Murphy was saying, "You ain't the dog anymore. I'm the top dog, and you're going to listen to me." And so if everything falls apart and they don't make the playoffs, my inclination is they're going to blame this on Aaron Rodgers. And they're going to say it really is time to move on. We gave him a chance. He didn't perform. I don't think that Murphy wants to admit that he made a bad coaching choice. I don't. And I think LaFleur stays longer than Aaron Rodgers, regardless whether they make the playoffs.
We'll see. Be back for more after this.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, That's design.garden.
My husband said to give our house more curb appeal, so I started painting. Then I went on Google and looked up the meaning of curb appeal. It said to make it more nicer. So I called Replacement Window Center, and they put in new replacement windows.
Get free installation and 0% financing for 18 months. Free installation and 0% financing. Hurry, call now.
Replacement Window Center. Our name says it all.
Crisis in Ukraine. I'm Ben Thomas with an AP News Minute. Medics covered bodies laying in the streets and doorways of Kherson today. The city continues to take fire from Russian forces 2 weeks after their withdrawal. At least 11 people killed in the past 2 days, scores injured. In his nightly address, President Vladimir Zelensky says crews cut in half the number of people without power across the country, but some 6 million are still experiencing blackouts. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says the alliance's commitment to Ukraine is unwavering.
Allies are providing unprecedented military support, and I expect foreign ministers will also agree to step up non-lethal support.
In Kyiv, Ambassador Bridget Brink says the U.S. can help address
winterization needs to provide as much air defense and other security assistance as possible, and to also help Ukraine repair its energy infrastructure so people aren't in the cold and dark and without water.
I'm Ben Thomas.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Gynecologist Dr. Kristen Lyerly has a succinct message for Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and other legislative Republicans.
Hey, get out of my exam room. Let me take care of my patients.
Specifically, she's commenting on Voss, indicating he could go along with slight exceptions to the state's 1849 near-total abortion ban, but only if rape and incest victims get a police report, something most victims do not want to subject themselves to.
So how do I tell her, no, I can't provide the care that you need until you file a police report? And then she goes home and what happens? She doesn't get the care that she needs.
Governor Evers has already said such a limited exception is a non-starter. And new state Senate Democratic leader Melissa Agard told us last week,
there is no compromise when it comes to reproductive healths and freedoms.
For more about the fight to restore women's health rights, join us for Up North News Radio, 6 to 8 a.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network and UpNorthNewsWI.com.
Talk about they need to draft good football players, not just good athletes.
Yeah.
I understand most of the Packer rookies have never heard this song, and it came out well before any of them were even a twinkle in their parents' eyes. But this is more uplifting to me, and I want to talk about some of the bright spots of this season, Todd, because it's been a roller coaster season, a lot more lows than highs, and very legitimately, the Packers could easily just have one win on the season instead of four. It could be that bad. It really could.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
The only game they won handily was against the Bears. So.
But it's kind of like the Wisconsin Badgers and this week's game against Minnesota. Right. As long as you get the axe back from Minnesota, it's a good season. As long as the Packers beat the Bears, if nothing else, it's a good season.
Then they got to have some sort of traveling trophy with that one too. That matchup.
Would that be great?
That would make it more fun and also more palatable if you're having a really rough year. If you just had something like that token, you could bring that back to your fan base with. That is fun though. Again, the Gophers here in town in Madison tomorrow. So Look forward to that game, and hopefully the Badgers pull it out. They're still trying to win games and finish on the right side of things. And I think they can still be bowl eligible, correct?
They are bowl eligible. They won. They beat Nebraska last week to become bowl eligible, and so they have six wins on the year now. And so tomorrow, if they beat the PJ Flexters, they'll have seven wins. So maybe get to a warm weather climate bowl. Hopefully.
Very nice. Very nice. We're going to come back to Badgers before the end of this, but we're going to talk about Packer rookies here first. Now, Evan, you know, the Packer rookies have been pretty exciting to me this year, and we're going to have Raider Rick here, I think, calling in to talk about a rookie and his team. But, Todd, look, Quay Walker, we've been screaming for an inside linebacker for a long time for this Packers team, a difference maker, a really good athlete. Because when you look at defenses across the NFL, the difference was speed on the interior, speed at interior linebacker and speed at safety, physical, fast guys that could cover a lot of ground, right? So they're good in pass defense, but they're also good against the run. And the Packers would never make a big move to get a guy like that. They passed on guys the last few years and finally got Quay Walker this season coming in. And I don't know what your thoughts are on him, but so far, I think he's been pretty impressive as a rookie.
Yeah, I mean, let's give credit where credit is due, right? So, I mean, I think there's a pick that went right, and I mean, you and I are talking off the air a little bit. I mean, to your point, Packers need to get better football players, or better athletes, not just football players, and you have to ask me a full package, and I think this guy clearly could do that. It's a learning process, but it's one area where I'll give Murphy and Gutekunst, whoever's pulling the trigger these days, they got it right.
Well, we got Raider Rick on the line here. We'll talk about more Packer rookies in a little bit, and he's going to lead us into one of our other Packer rookies that we have to talk about. But Raider Rick is with us here to talk about the Packer rookies and then also a rookie on his team that I was pretty excited about. I actually wanted the Packers to draft. But Raider Rick, how are you doing tonight, man?
Hey, I'm doing all right. And go Gophers.
Well, come on. He got one of his degrees over there, and he works at the U of M. So, Raider Rick, you know, we give him a little latitude there.
It's not often we have the axe. Let the Gophers enjoy it while they can.
Raider Rick, what do you think about Quay Walker?
I think, you know, I was a little skeptical of the pick when they made it, but you know, of the guys on the team, he's showing some fire. Yeah, he makes some mistakes, but he's a rookie. He'll hopefully learn and adjust, but you know, he's got some speed. He plays more aggressively than just about everybody else on the defense. So, yeah, I'm with you. I like what I've seen so far. He needs, you know, there's a lot of room for growth, but I think he's got a lot of upside, too. Hopefully he can be a playmaker for years to come.
He's one of the guys consistently I see playing hard, too. So, you do that, I'll forgive a lot of mistakes if you're playing hard and giving good effort and on the field. And he's been available as well. Aside from, I think he had one small injury, and then he got that ridiculous ejection from a one game, which was a big overreach by the official there, overreaction by the official. But Quay Walker actually has 82 tackles on the season. He's played the last handful of games. He's played, you know, he's played 100% of the snaps against Detroit, 100% of the snaps against Dallas. He's been in the 80s and 90s here in snap percentage of defensive snaps for most of the season. So you have to say that that's a pretty good rookie pick. Also, some of the other rookie guys to highlight, Kingsley Enagbare is getting more action now, and that kid in limited time was making a difference. And now with Rashawn Gary out, Moore's been put on his plate, and he's playing pretty well too. So watch out for him, number 55. And then Christian Watson, the other guy who's really shown up lately. Look, that kid's a difference maker. If he can get consistent catching with his hands and really shore that up, he could be, you know, ceiling. There is no ceiling for that kid if he can catch the football.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You know, Watson, a lot of people have been getting on him because of the nagging injuries, but hey, those things happen. Hopefully you can put that behind him. But, you know, the kid's playing hard. He's got some speed. It's a difference maker on the offense and on an offensive team that sorely needs someone like that. You know, they got Aaron Jones. He's not utilized the way a lot of people would like to see it. Having a receiver that has some speed, he's got some physicality, you know, just plays kind of balls out, trying to make some plays. We need more of that. Right now, this team sorely needs that. And, you know, hey, if it's a rookie bringing it, so be it.
Yeah, Christian Watson is actually has 18 catches on the season, 10 of them for first downs, and 5 touchdowns. on this, on in limited action since he's been back. So he has been a difference maker, and watch out for that kid. I think he needs to be nurtured a little bit more and not have a guy who's all over him like Rodgers was early. I think you gotta ride the confidence. You gotta boost the confidence. You gotta nurture that kid so he can fully blossom into what he should be. Raider Rick, you know that I love offensive line. Todd, I was just telling him how I love offensive line. You've got an offensive lineman over, and it's been a rough year for the Raiders. You know, first of all, we have to thank you again for taking that Devontae Adams contract off the Packers books. Thank you so much for that. Number one. Number two, I know it's a rough year, but hey, you got a rookie on that O-line drafted two spots ahead of the next guy we got to talk about. And he started every single game.
Raiders offensive line, to talk about a sad decline. You know, they went from having one of the better lines in the league to just being a, the start of the season, looking at the roster, like, okay, who's going to be the five guys that are going to line up? You know, it sounds a lot, quite a bit similar to the Packers situation. But that said, Parham, one of your guys coming into the draft, he's been a bright spot. You know, the Raiders obviously didn't have much draft capital to play with this year after trading it for Devontae. So I think he was their first pick of the draft in the third round. I think he played some guard and tackle in college, but, you know, so far he's been an interior lineman for them. Played some, I think, left guard, some center. It looks like he's settling in at right guard. And, you know, granted, their offensive line, nothing to brag about, but he's doing a pretty decent job so far. You know, he plays compact, he plays hard, he's a solid interior lineman, kind of stereotypical guard, kind of has the guard build. I don't know, I think there might have been some talk about him possibly being a tackle in the NFL, but he was only 6'2", 6'3", I think, over 300 pounds, so I think it's more of a guard build personally. But, you know, I think they're doing the smart thing by keeping him inside. Don't try to move him all over the place like some other teams have done with a lot of their linemen.
Including the Packers, which means that guys never settle in anywhere, and they're just, I mean, if you change them every single week, man, that's tough to figure out. But yeah, Dylan Parham from Memphis was drafted number 90, okay? There were other guys earlier in the draft this year that I wanted. I wanted Zion Johnson. We couldn't get him. He was gone at number 17. I wanted of course, 2 years ago, I wanted Quinn Meinerz, and they could have had him like a couple times, and they passed on him. But we were where we were. They let Lucas Patrick go in free agency. They lost some other guys. Royce Newman was terrible. Now they're all talking. There's talks about maybe cutting Royce Newman. Like, I mean, it's just crazy, right? How far all of that has fallen. But you knew this team needed more interior offensive line help. They missed out on Dylan Parham because they waited too long. The Raiders took him at 90. At number 92, the Green Bay Packers selected Sean Ryan. And Todd, why is Sean Ryan in the news? Because it isn't because he's been on the field more than one snap this year.
He had some Cheerios or some tricks or something. He had a little extra, as we say, back at Richland Center. Got caught with some PEDs, some illegal substances, some performance-enhancing drugs. And he was going to take a little vacation for the rest of the season, as it turns out.
First of all, he was Ben and I went to camp, and we watched him, and he just looked... Uh-huh. He looked slow. He was supposed to be a power guy. He looked really slow.
He hadn't taken his whatever yet. That's why he looked so slow.
I mean, maybe that's what he was thinking. I can't get on the field. And so he went, you know, to try to boost that up. But still, I mean, he just did not look the part at all. He did not look ready. He was a third-round pick that should have come in on a line that was beat up and competed and been a guy to maybe challenge some of the existing guys that were coming back. He was not that. Mm. I didn't even think he should have made the roster, to be honest with you, but he was a third round pick, so they put him on the roster, and now he's played one snap. I think it was a special team snap, by the way. It wasn't even like on regular offense. It was a special team snap the whole season, one snap, and now he's suspended for the last six games. That is a disappointing rookie. Okay, let's talk about some other good rookies before we go. We have Zach Tom, who's filled in admirably when asked. He's actually played four different offensive line spots in games this year. And also Romeo Doubs, before the ankle injury, was really coming on and doing some good things. And Samari Toure, a seventh-round pick out of Nebraska, doing some good things. And one more guy, he was a first-round pick, but Devontae Wyatt, in limited snaps, he's shown some flashes. So I like what I've seen from all those guys. And what that should tell you as a Packers fan is that the future is bright, and stay watching these games regardless of the outcome, because these young players are getting some snaps, they're contributing, and you get to see what they are. You get to see how they kind of grow and evolve as the season goes on. And then coming into next year, I think there's a lot to look forward to from this rookie class. This has been the most impactful rookie class that I can remember for the Green Bay Packers in a very long time, at least 10 years, maybe 15 years. I don't. My memory doesn't go back much more than 15, so it's definitely around that time frame. Okay, Evan, it is time for a beef. We have a beef. Before we get to the break, Todd has one, and he was telling me about it over the break as we were discussing certain things. Todd, it's your time here in just a second. All right, Todd, what is your weekly beef for the Green Bay Packers?
My beef is that the Green Bay Packers, time and time again, keep passing on Wisconsin football players. I don't care whether it's the Badgers, Whitewater. There's even been a couple of good kids out of La Crosse. They keep passing. T.J. Watt could have been a Green Bay Packer. They passed on T.J. Watt. You understand? You go right down the list. A time and again, Jake Ferguson. Did you see Jake Ferguson last night score a touchdown yet again? But one of the best rookies for the Dallas Cowboys. You got Barry Alvarez sitting next to Jerry Jones up in the owner's box each and every week, living it up, laughing it up. He should be at Lambeau Field. You understand? Barry should be at Lambeau Field watching his grandson play there. And he doesn't, because the Packers, they got a hard-on because for Wisconsin football players are against it. I don't understand it. And I'm sick and tired of them coming down, paying, you know, lip service to Badger players at this workout camp they do every year, and they keep on passing. So Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst, get your act together and give Wisconsin football players their due and start drafting some of these guys besides Vince Beagle. I mean, that was nice, but what, he lasted a year? T.J. Watt should be a Green Bay Packer. That's my beef.
Well done, Saad. Well done. And you're right. I mean, the most mind-boggling thing to me is that the Packers draft all of these guys from the South to play in Green Bay, Wisconsin in the wintertime. Yeah. It makes zero sense. Zero sense. And these guys who play at Wisconsin, and it's not like the Badgers haven't put out NFL-caliber players in the last 25 years. They put out a bunch of them. But and look at, history brings all the way back, Todd, to Troy Vincent. Terrell Buckley and Troy Vincent. Who do you go with? Who do you go with?
The Wisconsin player. And to your point, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers needs support. He needs a line around him. Big, beefy Wisconsin lineman to protect his old body. Draft Wisconsin people, for goodness sake.
This frail body. Those bones break easily. We'll be back to finish up the Pat Crowder Opinion Show.
Business or residence, please give us a call. We have the best system available and an amazing team of friendly technicians.
Thanks, Todd.
Well done. There's a lot of pent-up frustration.
Well, it's been, I mean, all the offensive linemen the Badgers have brought into the league that they passed on.
I know.
I mean, some of them they couldn't get, like, you know, Joe Thomas, okay, and you couldn't get J.J. Watt. I get it. Those guys were like top 10 picks. Right. Okay, fine. I mean, if you really wanted to, you could have got them, but whatever.
I was watching the draft the night that they passed over T.J. Watt. He got selected by the Steelers the next pick, right after the Packers. And I'm like, are you idiots? Turns out, yes. Yes, they are.
Yeah, that one stung a lot of people. That one, a lot of people could not get past. Because
only you. I mean, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, pick out the litter. I mean, you watch the breed. You know what's coming. I mean, J.J. Watt, pretty darn good. What? It's the same DNA. You think he's just going to lay an egg? No.
Yeah, I could see some of the offensive guys, but like the old lineman, I would have taken a swing at some of those guys. The defensive players that they've been putting out in the last handful of years, I mean, you could grab a bunch. Like, I thought this draft, I was not wanting them to take a linebacker in the first round. I thought they could get Leo Chanel in, like, round two or three.
Yeah, yeah.
And just wait exactly. Until then, because he's fast. He could fly around. But no. They couldn't get him either. We went for a different guy. It's fine.
I don't know what their problem is, but whatever.
I also think a lot of these guys from the South wilt. Well, they don't wilt.
They're like...
High of 40.
Watch how they Sunday. Play in the
With
January.
With a chance for scattered rain showers, 40 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Cut through the bullshit. Get the information the Deep State doesn't want you to know. Only on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM.
You're old enough to know this song?
Actually, my headphones were... What was it? I couldn't hear it, actually, part of the time.
This one is Drawing Flies.
That's appropriate. That's some of those picks are a bunch of crap. So, I mean, nice job, Evan, on the pickup of the music right there. Sweet.
This is off of Bad Motorfinger. Well, by my estimation, one of the top five rock albums of all time.
Really?
I don't know how you... Do you feel me on that, Evan? Bad Motorfinger? I mean, is it close?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I can almost... And even... I can see Lenny right now jamming out on that bass. He's got a bottle of Jack Daniels hanging off his pinky finger. Forgot where he put it. But he's killing it, you know? That's what I picture.
I've got to... You know, what I've got to say is I look at albums, too, not just at the hits, but I want to, like, cover to cover, song to
Those
song.
Deep cuts.
Yeah, I mean, that album is listenable, like really good songs all the way through. So, you know, the Outshined is probably the biggest hit off of there, and you think of that. But, I mean, Drawn Flies, Room a Thousand Years Wide, Mind Riot, all kinds of, I mean, really good stuff. Slaves and Bulldozers. Hey, Todd, if you haven't heard that one, go check out Slaves and Bulldozers from Soundgarden after the show.
I'll put that on my watch list.
Yeah, put it on your list for sure.
My Spotify.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So the question is: Are the Packers? Is the Packers season drawing flies? Is this Packers season over with? Like everyone wants to think it is, or freaked out after the loss to Tennessee. Now I was an optimist. I, you know, so many people said it's done, it's over. This team has nothing. We have seen, Todd, there's a formula for the Packers to win. And we have seen there's a formula to ensure that they lose. Do you know what that formula is, or should I tell you?
Please enlighten me, oh Packer fan extraordinaire.
It's really simple. It's a really simple formula. So you would have to think that people who analyze and study the team, like coaches, and maybe even players, might know this by now.
Maybe.
Okay. In... Six of the seven losses, the Packers have lost seven games. In six of the seven losses, they have passed the ball more than twice as much as they've run the ball.
Wow. All right.
In every one of those games, they were not behind by more than 10 points. And most of those games were one-score games pretty much the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So... And the flip side of it, they won four games, okay? They lost one where they ran the ball more. But they won four games where they featured Aaron Jones, where they ran the offense through Aaron Jones, where Aaron Jones had 25 touches or more. They won four of those five games.
Bingo.
So the formula is run the ball, be balanced, give it to number 33, and you have a very good probability of winning. When you do the exact opposite of that and you pass it twice as much, in some cases more than twice as much as you run it, you are guaranteed to lose. Every time you've done that, you have lost this season.
But how much of that is, obviously you got the statistics, I mean, it's true, but how much of that do you think is, again, this internal confrontation between Rodgers and LaFleur and, you know, hey, I'm the MVP, I'm 12, I need to get the ball, I can win this, and this ego out there versus what you just said, hey, A-Rod, here's the stats, baby. You ain't getting it done. How about we win a game? You know, I mean, at what point does the ego go aside and we actually try to win a game? I'm not really, I mean, I'm making a little bit of fun of it, but I believe that's an internal conflict that they can't get through. I don't know. Do you think I'm crazy?
No, I mean, Rodgers, the power struggle between Rodgers and head coach and everybody, basically everybody else on the team is real. And right. For the most part, they tiptoe around the god Aaron Rodgers. And that has proven to be a big detriment to this team, especially this year. Look, the offseason, we talked about it. The offseason, this past offseason, was their chance to cut the ties. That was the opportunity. That you were never going to get more for Aaron Rodgers than we would after back-to-back MVP seasons. They had a trade partner in Denver. For whatever reason, it didn't happen. And then they extended him and gave him more money, more power, more say, and they basically turned the keys over to him this offseason, and now they're stuck with it.
I don't want to go down a dueling tangent, to use the name of one of our shows by Luke and Brian, but to go on a quick tangent, I honest to goodness, I mean, I really thought that it was done. I told people that's the last time you ever see Aaron Rodgers in the Packer uniform after the last game last year. I thought he'd be gone too. And when he came back, I'm just like, what the heck is going on? And it's very confusing to me. I really don't know what the strategy here is. Why did they just acquiesce? Did they really not think that Love was ready? I don't know. It's all very odd to me. And I think that if they really want to win, you're absolutely right. Run the ball. Do some of these shorter distance, more high percentage completion throws to Watson, build some confidence, and then, you know, keep running the ball, and then get these quick short passes to Watson to advance the ball. And then how about this? We win. How about a win?
How about a win? Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, if you start with a running game, and that's what worked so well in the Dallas game and others, where they stuck with it, even though they were behind, it opened up all that play action pass game. Which, that's when you can hit big plays. That's when you give guys advantages off the play-action pass, right, where the linebackers react. And that's just the situation. And for whatever reason, Aaron Rodgers does not like to play that way. He likes football to be harder. I don't know why, but he does. He likes it to be harder. Now, I'm going to give you a little hope here, Todd, and that is, this is my prediction for the rest of the season.
As Jesse Jackson once said, keep hope alive.
I will. I say the Packers win at Philadelphia Sunday night.
Whoa!
Then they beat the Bears. Add them up. Yep. Then they beat the Rams. Then they lose to the Dolphins. But then they beat the Vikings and beat the Lions. Actually, I think they're going to go into the last game of the season, Lions-Packers. And that might be for the seventh seed in the NFC.
Whoa. Jason Hayes is getting out on the limb.
I'm stepping way out there. That board's long and it's not very sturdy, but I'm out there. I'm on the end of it.
I don't know. I think Philadelphia, they look awful good. It's at Philadelphia, right? I think it's going to be a tough game. I think the Bears are winnable. The Rams are winnable. Dolphins, as you said, is a tough game. Vikings, it depends which Viking team shows up. It's at Lambeau, so that's going to help a little bit. But then the Lions, I mean, you got to feel good about playing at Lambeau with the Lions. So I think this week is a huge game, because everyone is, right? But boy, you get a win on the road against the Eagles on this one. Suddenly, now your chances at that seventh seed, as you said, become real.
Look, the Packers have to play like their season depends on it. They should have been doing that the last couple weeks. They haven't. Maybe they'll start this week, and maybe it could turn the tide. Regardless, I'm going to watch all these dang games, whether they stink or not. But you can enjoy those rookies. Thanks for being on the show, Todd. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks once again to Evan. Slaves and Bulldozers.
He's the greatest.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
My husband said to give our house more curb appeal, so I started painting. Then I went on Google and looked up the meaning of curb appeal. It said to make it more nicer. So I called Replacement Window Center, and they put in new replacement windows.
Get free installation and 0% financing for 18 months. Free installation and 0% financing. Hurry, call now.
Replacement Window Center. Our name says...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.